real situation and having to carry out your worldly duties. So it's like, these are two interesting questions. So then he goes on to counter those questions. Do you understand the questions? Anyone not understand the questions? What's your son's name? Yes. Hari, do you understand the questions? Okay. Good. Does everyone else understand? Anyone not understand? These are two questions. Sort of back to back. They're kind of linked with each other. Clever questions. However, in order to strike at the root of this misgiving, the Supreme Lord says, now what he does, what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta does, he gives, it's a fairly long, not quote, but he's speaking here as if he is the Supreme Person, as if the Supreme Personality of Godhead is speaking. You can see speech marks begin there. Unfortunately, if you look through the purport, you'll see that the speech marks do not close at any point. Anyway, a minor grammatical problem. But it seems that when he quotes the verse on page 113, he reverts back to, instead of like speaking that Krishna is saying that do this for me and so on, he reverts back to like the more normal form of commentary. So as if Krishna is speaking, the Supreme Lord says, this world subsists by the constant performance of certain activities. This is what he meant by, Lord Brahma meant by, how people pursue ideals. Yeah. This world subsists by the constant performance of certain activities, nice activities, which are, you know, useful. Fill all these activities with meditation of me. This will destroy the quality that makes those activities appear as acts done by you. They will then be of the nature of my service, bhakti. Then he gives in the next paragraph a whole list of such activities. Eating, seating, walking, resting, sleeping, cleansing the body, covering the body, thinking, recollecting, retaining an impression, becoming aware of an entity, so on and so forth. I mean, those are like basic functions of the entity in the material world. But then he goes on to things like marrying, reciprocation between king and subject, brotherhood, attending sacrifices, offering oblations, digging wells and tanks for the benefit of the people, maintaining one's relations, practicing hospitality, proper civic conduct, showing due respect for others. So you can do duties, worthwhile duties, which normally would be considered material. But if you do them while remembering Krishna, then it becomes bhakti. How it becomes bhakti? There are different stages. There are three stages he mentions. This is towards the bottom of page 112. There are four stages. When these acts are performed for your own selfish enjoyment, they're called karmakandya. So that's stage one. When the desire for attaining freedom from activity by knowledge underlies these actions, they're called jnana yoga or karma yoga. And when these activities are managed to be performed in a way that is conducive to attaining bhakti, they're called jnana bhakta yoga. Well, some devotees, I could just mention, some devotees feel this is a sort of spelling error. If you look immediately across to the right, or to the next page, just immediately across, it says that this, what is referred to here on page 112 as Jnana Bhakti Yoga, or the subsidiary devotional practices, he says that subsidiary spiritual functions are called Gauna Dharma. Now, strictly speaking, this Gauna Dharma is a more appropriate term. Gauna means indirect. They become indirect methods for cultivating bhakti. Jnana Bhakta Yoga. For one thing, I don't know, there is no such thing as Bhakta Yoga. It's Bhakti Yoga. And Jnana Bhakti Yoga. Anyway, I mean, it's a possibility. But generally, at least I prefer the term Gauna Dharma, indirect, that subsidiary activity which helps develop Krishna consciousness. But only when those activities that are characterized by the principle of pure worship, are called bhakti proper. So four stages. First is karma kandya. Then when there's some knowledge and the idea of liberation, it may be Jnana Yoga or Karma Yoga. When there is some attempt at bhakti, then either Jnana Bhakti Yoga or Gauna Dharma. But when they are done in a mood of pure devotion, then Bhakti Yoga. So the thing is, ultimately, that Brahma is being encouraged to do this Jnana Bhakti Yoga or Gauna Dharma because he is kind of attached to his work. This is explained on page 113, down towards the bottom. Brahma cherishes the desire for creation in his heart. Can you see where we are? We're about eight lines up from the bottom of page 113. If that creative desire is practiced by conjoining the same with the meditation of obeying the command of the Supreme Lord, then it will be a subsidiary spiritual function, Gauna Dharma, being helpful for the growth of the disposition for the service of the divinity. It was certainly proper to instruct Brahma in this manner. Yeah. This is the right sort of instruction for someone like Brahma. Even though it's not exactly pure devotional service, but it's these, he can do his natural duty while remembering Krishna and cultivating knowledge and remembrance of Krishna, and bhakti proper will gradually arise in the heart. And to distinguish between Brahma, who's in his situation, and someone who may be more advanced, who can just become absorbed in pure devotional service, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta concludes the purport by saying, at the bottom of page 113, there is no occasion, there's no need for such instruction in the case of a jiva, in whom the spontaneous aversion for entities other than Krishna manifests itself on his attainment of the level of bhava. When a person is totally detached from the material world altogether, and any conception of needing to do bodily duties, and when they've come to that stage through coming to the level of bhava, they don't need to be instructed in this way, as Brahma is being instructed. And this brings us then to the last verse, verse 62. And here we have some, this is real Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, straight Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Listen, O Vidhi. Vidhi means regulator. I am the seed, that is, the fundamental principle of this world of animate and inanimate objects. I am pradan, the substance of matter. I am prakriti, the material cause. And I am purusha, the efficient cause. Means I am the material nature and I am Shambhu. This fiery energy that belongs specially to the Brahman, that inheres in you, has also been conferred by me. What is that fiery energy? That is the passionate energy to create. So it's coming also from Krishna. It is by bearing this fiery energy that you regulate this phenomenal world of animate and inanimate objects. So do your work of creation by the force of this fiery energy, but understand it's coming from me, and in this way always remember me, and always see how you're connected with me, and in this way be Krishna conscious, and become fully Krishna conscious. So this is the basic idea. So, and this is all Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, of course, we can see that very clearly. And then again, in the purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta adopts the mode of commentary of commenting in the form as if Krishna is himself speaking. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is speaking, of course, but he's commenting as if Krishna is speaking. So I think I'll just... That's the basic point, what I mentioned. We can just conclude by looking at the last part of the purport on page 116, about 10 lines from the bottom or so. This simultaneous distinction and non-difference has also sprung from my inconceivable potency. So Brahma should understand Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, see everything as one and different from Krishna, including his own creative potency. So let the attainment of love for Krishna by the practice of pure devotion, through the knowledge of their mutual true relationship that subsists between the jiva, the jada, matter, and Krishna, based on the principle of inconceivable, simultaneous distinction and non-difference, be my instruction for being handed down in the order of spiritual perceptional succession in your community, Sri Brahma Sampradaya. So this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy, the term was given by Jiva Goswami. The philosophy was enunciated by Lord Chaitanya. He spoke Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva a lot, but Jiva Goswami was the one who named it Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. But that Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy is not the creation of Lord Chaitanya. Actually, it is the fundamental philosophical concept, really, in our Brahma Sampradaya. Everything is one and different from Krishna. So here in Brahma Samhita, that very ancient scripture, Krishna is telling Lord Brahma that you should remember the way to see everything is in terms of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Everything is me, at the same time not me. So you do your service remembering me in that way and you'll become fully Krishna conscious. And you hand this down in your sampradaya. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Anga means there are 8 parts to it. 8 limbs. Yama. Yama, niyama. What is it? Asana, pranayama. What is it? Pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. So it's a mechanical process for elevating oneself. First of all, by yama. Yama means do nots. Then niyama means things you should do. So first of all, you accept regulative principles. Then next is asana, physical exercises. Next is pranayama, breathing exercises. Next is pratyahara. You try to withdraw your consciousness from the body and meditate. Dharana means that you are able to do that fairly well. Dhyan means you're very much, you're fully absorbed in your meditation. And samadhi means that you enter trance of meditation. So that's Ashtanga Yoga. It includes what is popularly called Hatha Yoga. Mechanical process. First of all, you control the body, then the breathing system, then the mind, and then go into a complete meditative trance that usually ends up on the supersoul. Okay. There's the Sadashiva, who's a form of Krishna for pastimes, and he has a Vaikuntha planet. That's described in Adi Leela chapter 6, verse 79 purport by Srila Prabhupada. Then there is Shambhu, who is the glance of Mahavishnu and the predominating form of Lord Shiva predominating over the entire material nature. So that's number two. Well, they all are. Well, particularly these ones, the last three. Yeah. So he's Shiva Tattva. He's yogurt, as distinct from milk. Then he expands in every universe as Lord Shiva on Kailash. They can all be called Mahesh. Yeah. But he can also be called Rudra. That's the Lord Shiva who came from the forehead of Lord Brahma. And he is one of the three presiding deities in this universe, Vishnu, Brahma, and himself. Then there are the 11 Rudras who came from that Rudra, and they were going to destroy the universe, but they were told, no, wait. So they were sent to Mahakala Dham, and they're waiting there to destroy the universe. So those appear to be four fairly distinct features of the person known as Lord Shiva. Much? Please forgive me for any and all the many shortcomings in the course. And I hope Krishna is merciful to you in your ongoing attempts to advance in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.